Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, and welcome to Discover a New Beginning Blog Talk Radio. Our show, Phenomenally Yours, broadcasts weekly on Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This show is inspired by and dedicated to all the phenomenal men and women who are making a difference. Whether someone recognizes your worth or not, know that you are awesome. I thought today, before we brought our guests on, that we would talk a little bit about spring cleaning. How do you clean out that mental junk drawer? It's that time of year again. Spring is in the air, and it's time for your annual spring cleaning. Time to go through that junk drawer. You know the one I'm talking about. The drawer that you put everything that you're not sure if you're going to use it again, but you don't want to throw it away just in case. You know, the old twist ties, that single battery, or those miscellaneous keys that surely go to something. You see where I'm going with this. If your junk drawer is like mine, you probably could dump the whole drawer in the garbage and not even miss anything in it. Junk has a way of reproducing itself into brand new junk. Well, that's the same thing that happens with your mental junk drawer. You keep old stuff that doesn't serve you well, but you're not quite ready to let go of it. You know, that old anger, the guilt, the unforgiveness, those things that have a tendency to rob all of the joy from your life. Your mind is a powerful thing. In order for you to live a fulfilled, productive life, you have to clear your mind of toxic, hazardous thoughts. One of the first things you have to do is recognize what those thoughts are. You know, what are you thinking about right now? Your mind is racing with thoughts even as you sleep. What am I going to do with my hair? What am I going to fix for dinner? All of your thoughts, your ideas, your chores, and worries are whirling around in your head. Then you're up and running, starting a new day with fresh junk to take up that space in your mental junk drawer. Some of what you put in may be healthy, like those light bulb ideas or the resolution of a puzzle, but often what we store thoughts of past worries, fears, negativity, and disappointment. So whatever is bouncing around in your head and your heart, if it's not leading you to become a better you, it's time to clean out that mental junk drawer. I'd like to welcome our guest. Our guest today is Calvin Logan, who is the host of the Logan Power Show on the All Nations TV Network. Welcome, Calvin, to our show. We are so pleased that you could join us today. Welcome.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be with you, ma'am. It's a blessing to be in your presence, and I'm good to have you around, and glad to have you here. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. So let's get started with our show. Calvin is a native of Los Angeles, California, and currently resides in Charleston, South Carolina. Married for over 11 years to the lovely Jamelia and has three children, Jasmine, Jeremiah, and Prince Logan. He has served in the military for 13 years and has been a coach and an assistant teaching students for over 16 years. Calvin received his undergrad in business administrations from Borges College and his graduate degree of MBA from Webster University. Currently, Calvin has a TV show called The Logan Power Show that airs on the All Nations TV network and is viewed nationwide on the website of the www.allnationstv.com and also a radio broadcast on Storm Talk Radio 365. Calvin wants to see people succeed and wants to make a difference in the people he encounters. The Logan Power Show platform is designed to allow people's dreams, visions, and ideas to come to the forefront. Calvin Logan is a people person that wants to be a trailblazer for the current generation and the ones afterward. His mission in life is to build people, teach the game plan to a successful life, and to provide assistance in helping to achieve their visions and their dreams. So tell us, Calvin, how did this become your passion?
Well, I wouldn't say it became my passion. It more just fell into, we call that favor that you get, God's grace and His favor hit your life. I know a lot of times when you things come to you, they come to you in phases. So I know for me, my phase in life and my rule in life was this TV show was a man by the name of Spencer Jones, my producer, told me I had the gift of gab, and he said, well, you'd be good to talk to people on television. And I'm like, well, that's a negative. I'm sorry, don't want to be on TV. I've seen a lot of drama, and that's just not me. That's not my style. I like helping people. I'm a straightforward person. I don't like the nonsense. You know, I'm the kind of person that if you say you need help, I'm here to help you. But if you're the kind of person that likes to ring around the trouble and talk about it for like 80,000 hours with no solutions, then I'm going to give you that look upon your face. Like, are we ready to get this together and fix it so we can move forward? Because you're holding up your progress. So I was like, well, that's not going to work. Well, hey, I tried it, and, you know, I started to love it. I love meeting new people, talk about their businesses, you know. Now, the only problem I had is that when you have a TV show, first people got to believe you're on TV is first. You got to find guests. So since my show was a 30-minute show, since we weren't, like, big time, where, like, you know, you had a whole bunch of advertisers because we were on MeTV first. I think at that time we were seeing, like, 40 cities. The biggest thing you have to start working on is those trailers and get prepared for, so when it comes on television, you have a lot of shows built up. So I remember me asking a whole bunch of people, and people were, like, saying, well, nah, I don't believe you on TV, you know. Let me see your first show. I'm like, well, we just got started. We're in the starting phase, you know. I'm not some big-time celebrity like, oh, yeah, for he's Steve Harvey, or, hey, he's TD Jakes, or, hey, he's Joel Osteen, or he's Ellen DeGeneres. I mean, so the biggest thing was trying to get people to convince them to come on the show and then talking for 30 minutes, because a lot of people didn't want to come on. Some of my guests, I literally had to have them talk for 30 minutes. And pulling the best out of them was not always the greatest, because sometimes people say, well, I can't talk for no 30 minutes, Calvin. So that was a big struggle. But, you know, as you know, through progression, I got better. My wife was one of my biggest critics. She said that you got to sit upright, you know, fix this, fix your tie, that ain't right, tell that person they need to talk. So she was in the background doing a lot of her wife help me duties. If you're going to do something, do it in excellence. Otherwise, leave it alone. So, you know, the show has been on since 2014. We've been on MeTV, the Now Network. We have our own YouTube channel. We're on Storm Talk Radio 365. People hear us on the radio there. And now on it's just TV. But it's been a journey. And I cannot believe we're going on our third year. If you told me I'd be doing this for 3 years, I would say you was a straight up lie.
But you know, I think that's how God works in our lives, because He will take us out of our comfort zone, and He will put us into areas and territories that we had no intentions of going and didn't know how we were going to get there or how we were going to make it work. But I think that's how God works. He takes us and puts us where He wants us. And when we sign on to be his servants and his messengers, then we can't pick and choose where he sends us. You know, we have to, we either sign up for the journey and follow his lead, or we bail out. You made a good point about your wife being your best or worst critic, however you want to look at it. And I think it's important, and you can speak a little bit on this. I think it's important for us to have people in our circle that is going to have the courage to tell us what we need to hear and not necessarily what we want to hear. And a lot of when we have a vision, we will have people sign on to our vision just to ride, which means they're not in our best interest. So they're not going to necessarily be that person like your wife who has your best interest at heart and is going to tell you the things that you need to hear in order to become a better person. What do you think about that?
You're actually right. I mean, God said he'll make your crooked way straight. And a lot of times, if you look at a journey through hills, valleys, mountains, it's never straight. If you go through a hillside, it's always like a curved type of shape, like a snake. You know, if anything is straight, that means it's either open valley. A mountain is either you're going to go in around like a cone type of shape. So you're going in a circle, get to the top. But it's all going straight to a point of destination. And that's how God does it. I think a lot of times we want God to have the yellow brick road like Wizard of Oz. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't.
Correction. There is, God does give signs. Sometimes we don't want to see it. That's when we step back. That's the problem. I guarantee it, if you look throughout your life and journey, there's always been a situation where God gave you a sign, but you was either prideful to not say, I'm going to look that way, or number two, you let your heart get tainted so where you couldn't really see it because your head was down. Because if your head is down, you can't see what's in front of you. All you see was down on the floor. So if I look it down on something, then I'm not really seeing what's ahead. And I think that is what the things we get caught up in. Nothing is too, this is not an entourage. You know, if you're looking for an entourage, someone to pat you on your back, say good two thumbs up, those type of things, that's not how it's going to work. So it's always good to have a person in your corner that's very transparent, that's direct. No one's going to hold back. If you don't have that, you can't grow, you know, and God is always direct. You know, God doesn't have to get on television and be like, you know, Calvin, you was wrong as heck. Son, your heart ain't right. Fix that, you know, fix it right now. And, you know, just me just working right now, you know, trying to get the call. Y'all was working and dealing with customers, and, you know, I had to get my heart light every time. Because, you know, for me, you know, I work another job where I try to keep my streams of income coming in. I do customer service. So in my line of work, it's kind of funny. I deal with customers all day long. So I have to keep my heart right 24/7, even times when I don't want to. So it helps me with the show. The smiling cat you see, even when sometimes I don't feel like smiling, it's because I want to keep my heart right because I never know who's watching me and I never know who I'm going to impact. So that's just me and me.
And someone's always watching you. Someone's always watching us, whether we realize it or not. Someone is always watching, and they're not necessarily watching to make sure we're doing something good. Sometimes people are watching us to see if we're going to mess up, if we're going to do something that is not in alignment with the relationship that we have with Christ. So you're right, you know, and everything comes from the heart. So your heart has to be right in order for anything else that you do in your life to be right. So what has been your method for success?
Ooh, method for success, real simple. If it's God's vision for your life, your purpose, tell him you got to fix it and not you. That's number one. I can tell you right now, my show needs a whole bunch of money so we can do what we're doing. We're doing a lot of great things. But to really to get to where the vision of God has for me, it requires finances. For me to do what I really want to do, it's require a lot of money. And I'll be quite frankly honest with you, I had to be in faith because this show is pretty much comes out of either people who have sold into the show, my personal money, people who have given their time to help me get to the next level, and favor. You know, favor is one of the biggest things. When you have a vision that God has for you, first you always gotta stay humble because God could give it to somebody else. That's people don't understand. Like, you know, I gave an example. If Bill Gates, for example, he's a billionaire, he's the richest man in the world, hands down. But I guarantee it, for him to get to the pinnacle he is, humility had to be there. That had to be one of the biggest things. You got to stay humble. President Obama, clear example, man of free will, been in president for 8 years. He had to stay humble to be president for 8 years. Could he toot his horn? Absolutely. But you have never seen him toot his horn that one time in his whole entire 8 years as president. Other people are going to toot your horn for you. But as long as you don't, it's all good. You know, great successful people, man or woman, have always let God use them, and then somebody else will give you the praise. As long as you and God have a strong relationship, then who cares what anybody else says? Because what they say doesn't mean anything. And I'm not trying to be obtuse. I'm just being honest. If your approval is if you're looking to get 8 million likes on Facebook, Instagram to fill up with the love, Twitter to get so many retweets, instant gratification, where people like, you know, giving you high fives and stuff like that, that is a smokescreen. That is something that's waiting to fall to disaster, because what's going to happen is when you fall, those same retweets turn into no retweet. Those same likes turn into maybe anger or sad faces or people commenting and telling you that you're no good, to people not even really talking to you. You know, I've always said this. My mother always said, you know, a hard head gets a soft behind. That's an old school trick. You know, you want to do it your way, I'm going to tear your tail up. Mom and dad were big up on that. So I just learned, you know, I don't want to make those kind of mistakes. You know, Adam and Eve, clear example. Everybody said, well, right. If I was Adam, if I was Eve, that would never happen to me. Okay. Really?
Yeah.
I've always said this.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, people got to look at this. The fruit thing, good and evil, let's just look at it as our everyday walk. You know, ask yourself, you for 24 hours in the day, are you always righteous? If you are, good to go. If you slip up even a minute or a second, then you know what? You could end up just like Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, I don't do that. You know, so they're in some people's minds there are lesser and greater sins. So, you know, and so they may look at a person who does drugs and say mm-hmm. that's very disgusting. Thing. But then they gossip. So you're absolutely right. You can't go 24 hours in a day and not and be perfect. There is no perfection on this side. There just isn't. So You're right, but you made a good point. We are so caught up in what other people think about us and their opinion of us. And with this whole onslaught of social media with Instagram and tweets and likes, and we crave that. And so what we're doing is we are shortchanging ourselves because we become more concerned about how other people think of us than how we think of ourselves and the relationships that we should be cultivating that matter. There's no way in the world anyone has 20,000 friends. That's just absolutely ludicrous. But if you talk to people, they will tell you, I have 20,000 friends on Facebook. But these people are not your friends. But we've just become so caught up in that I think sometimes we lose sight of ourselves. So how do you help people then to come back to reality, to be able to see their vision and to be able to walk in that, to bring that into fruition? How do you help people do that?
I look at it as myself. First thing I can honestly say, like, you know, I watch, I be careful what I say sometimes. You have to be careful on how you do things. You know, a lot of people, just like my everyday person, people say Calvin's a nice, friendly person. He talks to you. I come up as a humble guy, and I'm always a friendly person. Now, if you don't like that, I'm sorry that God made me to laugh. I love to laugh. I love to have a good time. I want better in my life. So I would tell people first, do a self-examination of what you don't like and do opposite. If you hate your lifestyle, change it. I give an example. For me, I know that right now I'm not in my Marine Corps weight when I graduate out of boot camp. Okay, I know that. Calvin, look at the mirror, say, man, I got some love handles. You got to change that. You know what I'm saying? No one got to tell me something. And my wife told me, like, say, baby, you're getting big. And I say, all right, cool, babe, I appreciate it. She honest. You know, now for me, I talk about her, you know, she'd be having like, you know, 10 bucks to be on CNN, you know, MSNBC. Oh, how are you going to say that? Well, I say, okay, I appreciate it. You got to learn to take self-criticism. That's one of the biggest things as being successful. The strategy, keep writing your vision down. Have like a vision, you see it. You got to dream this thing out. It's like playing a video game. You know, I like playing video games. I like playing with my kids. I love coaching. You got to see yourself making the basket, hitting the home run, making the goal in soccer, scoring the game-winning touchdown. You know, you have to see it. If you don't see it, then that's going to hurt you too, because death and life is in the power of tongue. You got to speak it also. You know, you have to speak your manifestation. You know, a lot of times people say I gave a silent prayer. What the heck is a silent prayer? What is a silent prayer? I've never heard of a silent prayer. Maybe one time in the Bible says, man, my silence bless me. No, it's a difference. Is when you pray, the Lord work through you is where it comes into play. And there's not, you name me somebody in the Bible who was silent. Jesus was not silent.
That's right.
What he did was he told demonic forces to come out, for they said anything. They became silent. You know, when he said, peace be still, he was talking to the elements, to them to be silent, but for him not to be silent. It's a time to speak. It's a yea and nay the Bible talks about. So you have to be careful what you say. If you look at your mouth as being a financial blessing, and you said anything that I say right now, it will manifest in 3 seconds. I guarantee you, be careful what you say from now on moving forward. But see, we don't think that's a possibility. We look in this genie in the bottle situation. Where's my genie at? You know, where the movies at? Where the transformer at? It's going to happen. And I said, well, it happens spiritually. Spiritual, what you speak right now affects the spiritual realm. It's a three-dimensional See, the fourth dimensional realm is that spiritual realm, things that you're not looking at, that you can't see. Like, you look at people, look at their heart, see how they are. If you look at somebody's eyes, you can really see what's really going on. The Maybelline is always something you can disguise Maybelline. But that eye gauge will tell you a lot what's going on. The posture, the movement, you know, how their ears are going, how they sweating down their brow, you know. When you say certain words, does the wrinkles on the forehead happen? How do they really react? Does their volume of their voice change and how you respond to them? You can figure out people real quick through the Holy Ghost. How to get people? It's real easy. You just got to be attentive and listening. But I would tell people, you have to write your vision down as one. I don't want to hold anyone up. Write it down. Keep manifesting it every day, no matter what other people are saying about you. And always come with the right people in your circle who's going to push you. You should always have someone who's going to push you to where you're getting to. God's going to always have one or two people in the midst, but then God's going to push you as well. You know, I've always said that some of the best time you can really talk to the Lord is when it gets real quiet.
Because
God's a gentleman. God ain't going to try to flex with you. All right, cool. You want to talk? All right, then. Have a great day. Appreciate you. You'll holler at me later.
Yeah. You know, when I was a little girl, and I used to hear people always talk about going into their closet. And I often wondered, why in the world would they want to go into a closet? And as I have gotten older and have matured, I realize and I have come to understand that closet represents, like you said, a quiet place where you can get away. And if it is actually a physical closet, that's fine. But it doesn't necessarily have to be. But it has to be a quiet place where you can hear the voice of the Lord, because we have so many distractions throughout our day, even to the point where when we start to pray, if we're not careful, our thoughts can become distracted. We can say, oh, did I turn that coffee pot on? What am I going to wear? So we can become very easily distracted. So you're right. We have to get someplace where it's quiet. And then you spoke also of an unspoken language, and that's that body language. And I used to tell my sons this, because my mother used to tell me this all of the time, is that there is a powerful message that you can convey without even opening your mouth. And so you're right. We not only have to be in tune, I think that's that power of discernment that we have been blessed with, to be able to look past what someone is saying with their mouth and to be able to see a little bit deeper and get a much clearer understanding of exactly what it is they mean. And then conversely, then we also have to understand that, coming from ourselves, that's something that we also have to be mindful of and to be able to address that, so that we're giving off the message that we want to give off in our whole body. Mind, body, spirit, tongue, that whole thing. So I agree with you. So tell us, who are some of the people that have inspired you throughout your career, and why have they inspired you?
Okay. That's probably like a long list, but I will get straight down to the point. I would say first my parents. I think my mother first. My mother was the one. She got her master's from UCLA in video and production. My mother was supposed to do movies. She's probably one of the best in the business, but she became a teacher. 30-plus years teaching kids from kindergarten all the way to middle school. She ended up just finished teaching elementary. My mother had one of the passions. She was way beyond her times. She was the kind of person, she knew how to do the, you know, record on one cassette tape and record on the other. We used to do all that kind of stuff. She taught me about how to on Facebook, did a little selfie, you know, the Facebook Live. We were doing that a long time ago. We had a regular camera. My mother told me, look on the screen. She's telling me, look again. You know, that's not right. Can you see yourself? You're not loud enough. I remember in elementary school when I was doing book reports at the third and second grade, my mother used to have me videotape me presenting. And it taught me how to be a public speaker. Because people always say, like, man, you speak very well. I said, well, it's a lot of practice. And a lot of getting told to do it all over again. My mom was like one of those. She was my hero. She used to pray 2-3 o'clock in the morning just to get through. My father, another strong person, high school diploma, no college education, made a whole bunch of money. My father was a people person. My father knew how to do it. He was one of those guys that had a sponge. Like, once he knew what time it was, that man knew how to get it done. He was my coach for sports, for soccer, basketball, football, and baseball. People thought my father played the game. Like, he was, like, you know, playing some college ball. Because I played college baseball for myself, and I did some things in high school, played high school basketball and baseball, did some track. And people thought my father really played the game. And lo and behold, my father didn't really play the game. He really studied the game. He played a little bit in high school, but he wasn't the guy that was like the guy. But he knew how to coach the thing. You know, soccer was one of the things that people said, like, man, your son is real good. You know, he plays like Pele. Because I had to watch Pele tapes. My father used to have me watch some of his old movies and, you know, kids in the 80s babies. If you remember some of Pele's film, he had a film called Striker with this Caucasian kid who came to see him. And I used to watch soccer and watch sports. My father used to have me go to the games, see the Lakers play with some of the finals games. You know, we went to Dodger Stadium. My father literally watched me, became one of my really good mentors. He taught me the game of life. He was teaching me how to dress, you know, son, you know, when I was wearing suits in first grade, you know, second grade, you know, shirt and tie, most of the place when you go something professional. Graduations, shirt and tie, you know, suit. So my father was one of those people who were never had it like that. You know, he talked about they used to pick cotton, grew up in a farm. My father talked about how it was hard, and he said that after he learned what hard work was, he never said, I'll never go back. My father used to get up religiously like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work before anybody else did, and he was the man, the store manager, and he made millions of dollars. He works for Pepsi now. He's turning 72 this year. My mother passed when I was 19, so she never got a chance to see me finish my undergrad, see me play college ball. She never got a chance to see me join the Marine Corps, get married. Everything she confessed, like, you know, my son will be great. He will be the one, you know. She said, I don't care what anyone says, you know, he's going to be great. So those were, like, my two major players. My godparents, love them. My godparents were in that Bible 24/7. If it ain't in the Bible, go back to where you just came from. In elementary school, my mentors was the janitor, Murray Golden. He passed away some years ago. He was a Vietnam veteran. I don't know if you people don't know, my mother was a teacher. When I was from kindergarten to sixth grade, I was at the same school my mom taught at. She was never my teacher, thank God, because I probably wouldn't have survived. But my godmother was my first grade teacher. So I remember first grade was, that was one of the toughest years of my life because everybody else can play in class, but I can't because, you know, if I get a spanking, you know, your godmother can spank you. Your mom is on the second floor. She can spank you. Your dad's like 5-7 minutes away. So that's a big time spanking. So you're not trying to get yourself in trouble. So first grade was like, oh my gosh, please let me get out of my godmother's class. I pray to you, Father, if I get out of this class, life will be sweet. So, but Murray Golden taught me a lot. Miss Hart, she was the cafeteria manager. She taught me, because see, what I used to do, I get to school early because my mom was a teacher. So Mr. Murray Golden taught me how to mop the floors. He had the keys to every door. And, God always showed me a janitor has the keys to open doors and close them. And that's how your life's going to be. You're going to open doors for people and close them. And so he's taught me how to live. You know, Murray Golden was one of the guys who convinced me to join the Marine Corps. Remember when I came back, he was happy for me. Ms. Hart was the one who, she taught me about the cafeteria, about, I remember the lunch time, we had the lunch, pay a ticket, it's like $1, get you a good meal. Nowadays, you ain't paying no $1, get no lunch now in school, but.
Oh, not now you won't.
Not now in elementary school.
Isn't it funny how when we were going through those periods in our life, those people seem like they were so hard on us, but as we have gotten older and we look back, we can see what a tremendous impact those people had on our lives. And think about, had we not been in their presence, the lessons that we would not have learned. So, yeah, I too have people in my youth and my young days that I just thought were just the worst, the absolute worst. And as I look back now, they were some of the best people that the Lord could have sent in my life. So as we get ready to wind down, let me ask you one final question. What do you want people to remember most about you?
That I put God first. I was willing to get dirty and help those that were lost, fallen, and willing to make a difference. I'm willing to leave a legacy where I can, my goal is to create movies, TV series, build a network to where person from the age of 5 to 99, a parent can sit down and watch my show and say, man, I learned something. Create books, you know, movies, where people can say, well, that was a good ending. I learned something. It wasn't just a Hollywood ending, but it was the real God was there. And you're not ashamed to tell someone he was there. You're not ashamed to talk about the real story. Like, it wasn't this miraculous blessing happened. No, I prayed. No, I sold my seed. I gave my tithes and offering. No, I can tell you what it's like to be through jail and prison, that kind of stuff, those kind of stories, the real story, not this make-believe Hollywood stuff that it just miraculously happened or you got to do X, Y, and Z to get there. Real TV series where, you know what, at the end of the day, there is some drama, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you can't tell me that every story, every hot TV series that you like saying, man, you can't tell me the church is that messed up. Well, if it's that messed up, there's nobody righteous in the fold, or if this movie's that bad, you can't tell me that there's any good at the end of the tunnel. Is it always I got to do something halfway bad and almost lose my life, and then now the blessing comes? So I want to change how everything is, you know. I want to help those, you know.
Yeah.
I want to break racial barriers that we see so much that we don't really talk about, that we're afraid to bring to our table. I want to see people that are military members, just that I've been with, to tell the real story, tell what it's like to be deployed, tell what it's like, well, you know what, I ain't going to lie to you. God saved me on that deployment. I almost died, and I prayed, and God saved my life. The real story, not this like, well, man, I don't know how I got out that bunker. I don't know how we got out this mess. You know what we had,
man. Right.
The Bible was in my vest, and I was praying.
And that's what we need.
Before
we need people to that requires a certain level of transparency to be able to be vulnerable enough to share your story and your testimony and open up your book of life to be able to reach someone else, to be able to help them deal with whatever it is they're dealing with. We want to thank you so much, Calvin, for sharing with us this evening. Our time is up for right now. Can you tell our listening audience how they might get in contact with you?
Amen, amen. You can go to www.theloganpowershow.us, THELOGANPOWERSHOW.US. That's a website. You can contact us there. Email us at theloganpowershow@gmail.com. You can call us at 843-697-5545. We have a Facebook page called The Logan Power Show. We got a supporters page called The Logan Power Show Supporters. And we're available. We got a strong team with us. We're excited what God's getting ready to do.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for joining us this week. Be sure to join us every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to hear from another phenomenal person. Or you can listen to our broadcast on blogtalkradio.com/discover a new beginning. If you would like to be a guest on the show or you know someone who is phenomenal, please contact me at linda@lindahwilliams.com. So I leave you with these words from that phenomenal woman, Maya Angelou. It's called Wonderful Man. Handsome man, ponder at my masculine size. I'm not huge or toned to appeal to the judge's eye, but when I begin to speak, they think I'm telling lies. I say it's the heat of my endurance, the sweat on my neck, the direction of my stride, and the strength of my pecs, you see. I'm a man, a phenomenal man. Thank you for joining us this week. Thank you so much, Calvin, for coming on and sharing with us. And we hope
to see you here
again next week. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.